second week of Spooktober. I am one of your frightfully dead hosts, Danny Fernandez. And sitting across from me,
very much alive, is Ify Wadiwe. How's it going? Don't need anybody. Look, man.
But Ify.
Can't leave anything dead anymore. People try and pick up the pieces and do what they want to it.
Come into my coven.
Yeah. I changed my Twitter.
No. See, I never have done that, and I never will. You did one of the puns.
Well, no. I changed it from Ify's Not Funny to Ify Wadiwe to be better branding-wise.
Oh, yeah.
And someone took Ify's Not Funny because while I had it,
no.
Timothée Chalamet tweeted at me. So someone took it and then was like, follow me, Timmy. I was like, don't use my
gross. I hate that.
Yeah, you know. Well,
this happened to a couple of our friends.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say you changed it to a spooktacular name.
Oh, yeah.
Which
I'm Ify Shagulde.
See, you did. And you're making fun of me for being corny.
Well, no, I didn't say you were corny. I didn't put all that on you. You're posting that on me. I just said I'm very much alive.
You know what? Actually,
taxes.
People can't see, but you're wearing a bald eagle wolf howling at the moon shirt. So
yeah, there's actually seven hidden wolves in the shirt.
Fun spook. It's very spooky.
Yeah.
I love
it. Are wolves spooky?
Werewolf, teen wolf.
Okay, werewolves are.
American
I've
werewolf.
I've always been like, I want to be a werewolf, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are joined here with someone who has been patiently been okay with us. We have stand-up comedian and horror enthusiast Jen Saunderson. Thanks for coming on.
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah, when I asked for people that were Tales from the Crypt fans, you were tagged, I think, by a couple of people.
Yeah, people know that I love the horror movies. Like, I host horror movie events at my house, like horror brunch.
Oh, cool.
I'll just have comics come over and we'll eat brunch and just basically mystery science theater, a bunch of horror movies.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Do you watch some of the, like the mystery science, do you watch some of those old black and white ones?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Some of my favorite ones are like from the 40s, like Dead of Night, which is like a horror anthology that's British and just absolutely terrifying at times, funny at others.
Yeah, I forgot. We did one. I don't know if you were there, Ify, but I did a horror night at Hyper RPG, which is a Twitch channel. And we were able to live stream it because we used one of the fair use ones. Like a lot of those old black and white ones, they have like fair use. Just a little known fact there. But what was your first introduction to Tales from the Crypt? Did you ever read any of the comics?
I did not read any of the comics, but I do remember one of my friends, like in elementary school, like for a slumber party, her parents had HBO. Like, ooh, fancy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, ooh, look at you. And we stayed up really late in the living room just watching as much as we could because we knew if any parents came down, that would be turned off immediately.
That's so funny. We also had the HBO package. I think we had Skinamax. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. No, I was a big practitioner. I was on the other.
What does that mean?
I was on the other part of my Witch Hunter Robin VHS. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. My brothers and I just used to religiously watch like those movie channels. I don't know why my parents had them, but yeah, I remember also, you know, it'd be like 10 p.m., 11 p.m., and it would flip over with softcore porn.
Yeah.
Little known facts.
Yeah, HBO just did away with their whole late night section. So
I guess you don't really need, I mean, yeah. Also, they still have tons of tits and stuff on that channel with Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot of nudity.
Yeah.
But I guess now it kind of reminds me of Playboy. It's like, well, you can kind of get it anywhere.
No one's reading HBO.
Yeah. So today we are covering Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah.
Ify, what do you remember watching this show?
I remember catching bits and pieces of it, but I was always afraid just from the intro, from the jump. I didn't even make it far, but when he would pop out, whoo, that would get you, boy.
Mm-hmm.
That was all I needed. And I was like, all right, I can go to sleep now.
I got
scared. Tales from the Crypt is an American horror anthology television series that ran from June 10th of 1989, a year after I was born, to July 19th, 1996.
I think it's also the year that that Danny was born.
I was also born that year. There's a running tally that's going to be made in this studio of how many times Iffy has brought up that that's the year he was born.
Well, look, you know, I just need people to know, for the people at home taking
they're
count,
aware.
Like, where were they in their life when these things happen?
Yeah. No, I get it. It's because sometimes people get on. It's like, you didn't watch it when it came out? I was like, no, fool, I was one. Like, yeah. Chill. I caught the reruns. Sorry, continue.
Yeah. But it was on HBO for 7 seasons with a total of 93 episodes. And the title is based on the EC Comics, originally Educating Comics, but then rebranded as Entertaining Comics, because who wants to read Educating Comics? Let's be serious. That's like,
highlights.
I wonder where it is on that tier. Like, tier one is your mainstream, like, Marvel Image. And then I think under that would probably be Educating Comics, and then under that would be all those Christian comics they give out for free at Comic-Con.
It was Christian comics. It was Christian comics and educational history comics is what they made.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So never mind. That is going to be on tier three.
I didn't realize, because I host at Mental Floss, and I didn't realize that they were a comic, because someone was like, oh, yeah, I used to read those. But yeah, those and Highlights. You guys, Highlights?
Yeah.
Was my jam.
Yeah, Goofus and Gallant, they taught me everything I needed to know about life.
Deep cut.
Yeah, oh yeah. I was a big Goof G head. So the show came from the comics, which was an American bi-monthly horror comic anthology series published from 1950 to 1955, producing 27 issues. So it didn't even run.
That's not that much.
Yeah, it didn't run that long. You know? So, because the TV show aired on HBO, a premium cable television network, is one of the few anthology series to be allowed to have basically full freedom from
boobies.
Censorship. Yeah. And the network standards and practices. I probably haven't seen, like, the full action version, because the ones I saw were the reruns that came on late night on
And those
network.
Have been edited.
Yeah. So I haven't actually seen the full action. I'm going to have to go back and watch.
Yeah. See those 80s titties?
I know. Yeah.
You know, there's like, something different about them. There's something different.
It's true, yeah. And the bras are a little bit different. Yeah, so they had graphic violence, profanity, sexual activity, and nudity. One of the episodes that I watched the other night, Split Second, it did have a lot of, I don't know if you remember that one, but it was like a lumberjack situation. Also, you know, going back and watching them, kind of problematic. You can definitely tell that they're written, at least some of them, like, by dudes.
For sure.
Because there were like at least 2 or 3 episodes that had the same theme, which was a woman gold digger, essentially, and her being like super promiscuous or just, I don't know, really shallow. And I was like, cool, this is great. Which is just funny to me because we covered The Twilight Zone and it is so different.
Twilight Zone I absolutely love, and women are usually pretty empowered in those. This one, I think there's 3 separate episodes where a man gets a love potion and it goes every time horribly awry, usually with a decaying corpse.
Yeah, that doesn't sound so
well,
great.
Well, it's funny because the heart of the show, I feel like, for Twilight Zone was also, you know, trying to speak some truth to social issues, where you have a show like Tales from the Crypt, which is more trying to be spooky and edgy.
It's like Shock Jock.
Yeah, especially when you think an HBO, like, I'd imagine that if Tales from the Crypt was a network show, we probably would be looking back at a completely different show. But I imagine they're like, we can do what we want? Oh, yeah, let's
I know.
Go.
It's like Twilight Zone's, like, little brother that, like, found its porn stash under its bed. So let's talk a little bit about the main man, the Crypt Keeper. So he first appeared in the comic. So although EC's horror stable consisted of 3 separate magazines, there wasn't much that really distinguished them. I do remember there was a witch. Let me see. Yeah, the old witch, which was the Haunt of Fear. She was actually inspired by Old Nancy, the Witch of Salem, which was a host of Alonzo Dean Cole's radio series, The Witch's Tale, which aired from 1931 to 1938. So she was actually inspired by this old radio series. That's a little known fact. Do you remember some of these?
I remember, if you go with radio series, I remember Suspense, which I absolutely loved. And some of the Suspense episodes would be used for Twilight Zone.
Yeah. And also some of... a lot of Twilight Zone did, and I'm sure Tales from the Crypt as well, used teleplays and stuff that they would actually buy them and then adapt them.
And they adapted them into plays later in the 2000s, I believe. They started doing the old radio format in the 2000s.
So there was the Crypt Keeper. There was the Vault Keeper. He was the keeper of the Vault of Horror. And then, again, the Old Witch. So the Crypt Keeper was the primary host of Tales from the Crypt. He was introduced to the public in Crime Patrol number 15. And he continued with that magazine through its changes. Actually, I have a little bit of him right here. So we're going to play a tiny bit of him real quick.
Now that's what I call sushi roll. I guess Liz was right. A good man is hard to find, especially after he's been chopped into so many pieces. Well, kiddies, I've got a little chopping to do of my own. It's my producer's birthday. He's always wanted final cut.
Yeah, that is the voice of John Cassier. He is an American actor, voice actor, and a comedian. So he, little known fact about Cassier, he first became known in 1985 when he defeated Sinbad for best stand-up comic on Star Search.
Still what? Mad about that.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? So he actually beat out Michael Winslow and Charles Flesher to become the voice of the Crypt Keeper. And then he went on to do a bunch of things. He plays Raymundo on Rocket Power. Yep. Mm. He also was the voice of Buster Bunny. He took over for Charlie Adler in the final season of Tiny Toon Adventures. He's the voice of Miko, the raccoon in Pocahontas. He's the voice of Deadpool in X-Men Legends 2, Rise of the Apocalypse. He's done a bunch of video games. He was in various roles on the Amanda Bynes show that was on Nickelodeon. So, yeah, he's done a bunch of stuff. He was also in Monsters University and The Secret Life of Pets. So he's been around.
Yeah, he's still working, it sounds like, too. So, you know. It was crazy.
But is he passed at the Comedy Cellar and the Comedy Store?
I mean,
Store?
That's a good...
there's some stuff I want to talk about that that is just so inside baseball, but we'll just talk about it after the cast.
Yeah, so each episode begins with a tracking shot leading to the front door of the Crypt Keeper's mansion. Once inside, the camera pans down the hallways and stairways and finally descends into the basement. That's where the Crypt Keeper pops out of his coffin, like Iffy was talking about, and then little Iffy would run away and go to bed. I really liked him a lot.
My husband, he says that the Crypt Keeper is his favorite stand-up comedian.
We heard him use puns.
Oh, yeah. He was very punny.
Yeah, and it's just, there is an episode where a mummy and a two-faced quote-unquote freak, I hate to use the term, they get busy, and that's how the Crypt Keeper apparently.
What?
Yeah, that's how he gets to be the Crypt Keeper. That's how we get him.
I had no idea.
That's what happens when someone is forced to come up with an origin story.
Yeah. Just it's like... season two, let's figure out how this guy got here.
This show, you know, and we kind of touched on, you know, Twilight Zone kind of picking and choosing, like, mm-hmm. oh, these guys were big. But for the Tales of the Crypt, it seems like they had A-list actors just packed to the brim because they had Patricia Arquette, Dan Aykroyd, Hank Azaria, Sandra Bullock, Steve Buscemi, Daniel Craig, Tim Curry, Benicio Del Toro, Eric Douglas, Kirk Douglas, Corey Feldman, Brad, the list goes on. And it's funny because, you know, when you're hearing... when this show was out versus some of these names, it does seem like some of them were at different points of their career. Mm-hmm. Like, they caught some of them early. But it's really cool to see just, I don't know, it's kind of cool looking back on shows and seeing, like, oh, they did that? Like, I feel like the last time I kind of felt that similar energy was my buddy was watching The Office. And you're like, oh yeah. Kimmy Schmidt mm-hmm. came from there. You had
John Krasinski,
mm-hmm. who is now Jack Ryan.
I know, yeah.
But then he's also, an analyst.
Yeah. Ed Helms.
And a director of an amazing film.
Yeah, yeah.
A Quiet Place.
Yeah. Oh, that was him?
Yes.
And his wife.
That's crazy.
Oh, he's so
good. I should know her name because I don't want to be like, and her wife.
Emily Blunt. And she has her own, I mean, she has a
Wait,
ton of
John stuff. Krasinski is married to Emily Blunt?
Mm-hmm. How iffy.
I'm sorry, I'm not up on my Krasinski
How are you not,
facts.
You need to go upstairs to the Daily Zeitgeist office and read all of their, they have so many, what are they called?
Like tabloids.
Okay. No, but I was going to call them their trash name or whatever, trash mags.
But yeah, no, but I mean, Krasinski married up.
He's cute. Because
Emily Blunt
but
has
that's all
way
men.
More star.
Okay, so I wanted to name, so Tom Hanks was also on Tales from the Crypt. Meatloaf.
Yep. Always getting eaten that meatloaf.
Yeah, yeah.
Ewan McGregor.
He had a good, meatloaf. He had a good streak in acting because he was in Spice World, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We also had Catherine O'Hara, Brad Pitt.
He looks good.
Mm-hmm. Iggy Pop, Martin Sheen, Brooke Shields, / John Stamos. Oh, ooh. Of course we did. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Twiggy, Adam West, and Billy Zane, because how could you not?
Yeah, because he's in Demon Knight.
Yeah. They also had a lot of famous directors or actors that were also directing. So they had Michael J. Fox, Tom Hanks also was directing, Kyle MacLachlan, and Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then they also had Robert Zemeckis, Richard Donner. Yeah, it was a lot. They freaking packed it.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to go over some of the number one episodes.
Okay.
Some of the ones that I pulled were from a bunch of different sites that kind of ranked them. But before we do, Jen, what are some of yours, I guess?
Oh, okay. Yeah, my favorite one, hands down, because when you invited me, I was like, what is my favorite one? What do I remember that scared the crap out of me as a kid? And it was definitely, Only Skin Deep. I don't know if you guys remember that one. It's the one where this abusive boyfriend goes to a party. It's a Halloween party. And he's having an altercation with his girlfriend. And he goes, or ex-girlfriend, he goes into the kitchen and he sees this woman and she's wearing a white mask and kind of a latex outfit. And he ends up going home with her, and they decide, masks on, like, just, you know.
What?
Anonymity. There we go.
Yeah.
Masks on. I don't want to know about you. You don't want to know about me. And they just have a lot of fun. And any other channel, you probably wouldn't have been able to see most of that. And that, surprisingly, wasn't any of the parts that I remembered. What I remembered was that the mask was her face. And he was trying to take it off, and he was scratching her skin off because that was, like, that white, creepy, like, China doll-style mask was her face. And she was chopping off the faces of her ex-lovers. And it had one of those, like, creepy tropes that you see in all the horror movies now where there's, like, one guy and he's shaking violently. Like, they do it in Jacob's Ladder for, like, the first time. And he's just like, ah. And you see that in the episode. And it's just fun to see, like, those creepy horror tropes that we're so used to seeing now being introduced slowly in the 80s and early 90s.
So, wait, she took him. So, wait, how did they meet?
At the Halloween party.
But they weren't. But they had masks on?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and he was like, take off everything but your mask?
Exactly.
Oh, so they wouldn't know. And then he was trying to take her mask off. Well, isn't that against the rules?
It was, yeah. Yeah, he was just getting so angry. He was like, how dare you not want to be with me? And yeah.
But that was, that is pretty terrifying.
Yeah, I think any mask.
Yeah.
Not being a mask.
Maybe you don't have sex with creepy ass masks on.
People see Eyes Wide Shut, and then all of a sudden they're trying to,
I know.
Live that life.
Yep.
Who thought that was okay? Like, who's like Fidelio I'm in?
I definitely, that is my jam. Like, I remember after seeing Hackers, I went to a hacker forum to try and learn to be a hacker. And I was like, oh, this is probably how you get hacked. Just giving all your information to hackers and being like, teach me, please, hackers.
Yeah.
Trying to be one of you guys.
I was going to say this is according to Screen Rant, their number one episode is Dig That Cat. He's Real Gone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So that was season one, episode 3. It was directed by Richard Donner, who also did Superman 1978 and Lethal Weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
This is the synopsis is the vagrant Ulrich is invited by Dr. Emil Manfred to participate in a medical experiment. In return, he would receive his savings. Dr. Manfred implants a group. I always love, like, I love this idea of, like, a crazy scientist and being like, and you can get all my money. You know, like, that happened to me. I mean, I would love it. I'm sure there's a bunch of kids out there with student loans that, like, I will do it. That's actually what I think those medical tests are that you see you see ads for. Dr. Manfred implants a group of cells from a cat, and Ulrich is able to die 9 times. Like, this is so specific. Ulrich contacts an owner of a sideshow, Barker, and together with his mistress, Coralie, they make a successful show where Ulrich dies in front of the audience. But it sounds like he can only do it 8 times.
Because he forgot.
When Ulrich uses the 8 life, he schedules a great last show for real. Yeah, so this was their number one that they said from Screen Rant. I don't know if you remember this episode.
I do. Yeah. It was terrifying to think, okay, so just the idea of being buried alive.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, I was just rewatching Kill Bill Volume 2.
Oh, yeah.
And that scene is just so, like, I just think about it so much because that has to be, like, the worst to just, like, hear. Because they, you know, does a good job of, like, really capturing just when you see the nails come down and the light go out and then you hear the weight of the dirt coming on top. It was just, like, it was so good.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember, but Ryan Reynolds was in a film called Buried in 2010.
Oh, I vaguely remember that film.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a common, yeah, thing. There's a couple of them like that. So according to Bloody Disgusting, their number one is The New Arrival. So that was season 4, episode 7. It was a pompous radio psychologist, Dr. Alan Getz.
Like
Mr. Fraser Crane, is told that he is in danger of losing his show due to poor ratings. In a bid to remedy the problem, he decides to visit the home of a regular caller, Nora, a woman who has continual trouble with her badly behaved daughter, Felicity, a move which he believes will be a great publicity stunt. Accompanied by his long-suffering producer, Bonnie, and his... Who wrote this? It says, and his bitchy boss, Rona. You know who wrote this? Bloody Disgusting. Also, if you don't agree with these number ones, please write them. Don't write me, but you can write them. You can write us. Tweet at us, at Nerdificent, to let us know your number one favorite episode. These are just different ones that I took from different sites. But in this particular one, it was pretty gory. There was... Felicity kind of had set it up to be... essentially like a murder house. So there was renegade ceiling fans, electrified doorknobs, razor blade, like dark hallways that were lined with razor blades.
She's an H.H. Holmes.
Yeah. And then it was directed by Peter Medic, who went on to work on The Wire and Breaking Bad.
Wow.
Yeah. And Jen, you were saying that this had the lady from Poltergeist.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time you see her, she's just, she scares the crap out of me because I think of Poltergeist. But she's such a good force. But you're like, Poltergeist.
None of the ones that I looked at, they had like honorable mentions. That was Death of Some Salesman.
Yes.
But I know that was one that you liked a lot. Can you talk about that one?
Yeah. So that had Ed Begley Jr. And he was a con artist trying to get people to essentially buy plots of land for their grave sites, saying that their lost love had just put down a down payment for them and that they needed to pay the rest of it to be able to get the inheritance. So he was just you already don't like him from the start. You're like, okay, you're a con artist jerk. And then he goes to a house that happens to have a whole family played by Tim Curry.
Yeah,
just like automatically I'm entertained. I want this to be an hour. So the family absolutely hates salesmen. And you realize that they've been murdering salesmen. And they have a daughter who's up on the second floor. And they said, well, maybe if he marries her, he can stay alive.
What?
Yeah.
That's such a random.
Yeah. You're like, oh, what is she like? Because she's also going to be played by Tim Curry.
Oh, yeah.
So they end up having relations, and he proposes to her like a con artist, and claims to be getting. She claims that there is a $40,000 inheritance dowry in the basement, and that she needs to dig it up. And he ends up. Am I giving too much away?
No,
like,
please.
Okay. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He ends up killing the father and the mother. And saying that we need to run away together and let's grab that inheritance. And he shoots his brand new wife, digs up this grave, essentially, it looks like at the end, grabs the inheritance, and it turns out to be the very scam that he sold them.
Oh.
And then everybody was in on the hoax. So the mother and the father are not dead. It was, I guess, blanks. And the wife, the new wife, bride, gets up and they end up killing him. Mm-hmm. And there's a fresh grave right there to do it.
Dun, dun, dun. Mm-hmm. A little known fact about this is Eddie Murphy turned down the role to play Ma, Pa, and Winona Brackett. So it went to Tim Curry. I mean, it is funny because, so when did this come out? 1993. Yeah, it is funny since, you know, Eddie Murphy did play an entire family with the Clumps. So very fascinating. Yeah. And then Tim Curry was nominated for this.
He was, yeah. But it went to... someone on for Picket Fences.
Wait, was it an Emmy that he was nominated for?
It was it an Emmy or Golden Globe?
He was nominated for Outstanding Guest Actor in a Drama Series in 1994, which unfortunately went to Richard Kiley for his performance on Picket Fences.
Got it.
Ah. Yeah, because everybody's like, let's go to the Picket Fences podcast.
So we're going to get into some more of our favorite episodes, also talk about some of the critical reception of the show, and it might have had a possible reboot. We're going to do that right after the break.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back. It's your boy, Iffy Whiteway, and we're talking about Tales from the Crypt. With that spooky laugh that scared me every time.
No, that's not quite it.
You know, it was something like that.
That's just like more annoying.
It just sounds like the Simpsons kid.
I know. Good old Nelson.
There you go, yeah.
So, Jen, you had another couple of favorite episodes that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, one of them is All Through the House, which was...
Oh, yeah.
That was used in also in the 1972 Tales from the Crypt movie, which mm-hmm. had Joan Collins in it. And that's where the wife murders her husband, and she's trying to take care of trying to clean up the murder, where she overhears that an insane man is on the loose, and then finds that this insane man is trying to get into her house, so she can't call the cops, otherwise she'll be... automatically found out as this murderess, and so she's trying to lock up this house, and it's just incredibly suspenseful, and her daughter actually ends up opening the door to this insane man because he's dressed up as Santa.
And it's what she deserves, not the daughter, but the mom. Also, that's just so weird that she, like, kills her husband on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And she, like, tucks her daughter in for bed and then does it.
So normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, better go kill my husband now.
It's like, well,
time to go.
Tuck her in.
This was directed by Robert Zemeckis.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Pretty cool. Yeah. This was actually, I forgot, someone did have this as their number one.
Oh, good.
Let me see if I can find it. It was Ranker. Ranker put this as their number one episode. So that really... Yeah, that stood out for them, too.
I would also say other ones that I liked. One of them, I just felt like it was the most extreme versions of men and women for the series, was Dead Right, where Demi Moore, just looking absolutely flawless, she comes out and she's a gold digger, like you had said before.
Yeah.
And she goes to a palm reader to try to find her fortune. And she's told that she's going to lose her job and get a job immediately after. And she does. And then she's told she's going to meet a man and he's not going to have money, but he'll come into money soon after and then he'll die. So she finds this man, and it's Jeffrey Tambor in a fat suit. Is wonderful, just looking the most vile he can. And he's a patron at a strip club that she ends up working for. And she's like, I can't be with this guy. I don't want to be with him. Are you sure he's the guy who has all this money? And she says, yes, he is. You need to go for it. She ends up marrying him. And then she wins some kind of lottery. And it turns out that she's the one who inherits the money. And she tries to leave him. And he goes super toxic masculinity and starts killing her, saying, if I can't have you, no one can. And he kills her, inheriting her money, and then gets electrocuted for the crime because he gets committed.
Yeah, the split second one wasn't too different than that, I would say.
Yeah.
It wasn't too different,
yeah.
Weirdly enough. But, I mean, there was a lot more flannel because it was lumberjacks. But, yeah, not too different. It was a gold digger who, I guess, she marries this, like, really older, ugly-ish guy. And then he, like, catches her with a younger man. And then they both actually end up getting chopped in half.
Yeah.
Or chopped up. Yeah,
is that where he was coming back from when in your clip? That's what he
Yeah, exactly.
I heard the show. What's interesting is, like, for that, the Jeffrey Tambor one, that one actually, I was so interested if he didn't kill her, because that would have been like interesting, because she's the bad person.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, it's the typical twist, but they're like, nah, we're going to have him. Like, that almost seems like he has to get, like, someone is thinking, like, he has to get his. And it's like, no, his would just be getting the money. Why? That's extra. But it's funny because, or not necessarily funny, but they say, you know, horror comes from, you know, people writing about the things that they're most afraid of, mm-hmm. which is why, you know, Rod Serling wrote a lot about isolation and being stranded, because, you know, he dealt with being in World War II and hated it.
Right.
And it's funny that, you know, this show with pretty much successful writers, their biggest fear is these gold digger women.
That is so telling.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and but instead of leaning into it and letting the horror live in the, like, that, they're like, well, we're also going to make sure that they get theirs too. You know, like, it seems so over the top and unnecessary.
It's that classic thing that they say, I don't know if it's not a slogan, but it's just this saying that I've been hearing a lot lately, that men are worried about women laughing at them, and women are worried about men, you know, murdering us.
Yeah, yeah, truly. So,
very, you know, similar playing field.
Yeah.
So you were also talking about, during our break, you were talking about how Danny Elfman did the music for the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He did that, the theme song to it. And he also did the theme song for Simpsons. And he also was in Oingo Boingo. Like,
I was listening.
What has this guy not done?
Because it's Spooktober, I was actually listening to Dead Man's Party on the way over here.
Yeah.
I saw, Iffy, remember I was saying that every year at the Hollywood Bowl here, they do a live thing of The Nightmare Before Christmas, but every year they're like, this is the last year, this is the last chance. So I think I went last year, because I was like, this is the last year, last, and I've never gone. So I went, and it was Danny Elfman and Catherine O'Hara and Paul Rubens. Like, they had the original cast, and it was great. And then at the very end, and like, they would show, you know, scenes from the movie, the orchestra would play, the people would come out and sing, the actors would, and then at the end he played with Oingo Boingo. But then it's back this year. And
oh,
I'm
yeah,
like, you can't do that. You can't do that. It's never actually gone away ever. I love Nightmare Before Christmas. It's one of my favorite movies. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so Danny Elfman. And then they also had other music for the show. There was a Christmas soundtrack.
Yeah, I want to know the family who played that, the opening presents.
I don't know. Some kid, I feel like some teenager might have been super into it. In 1994, there was a Christmas album called Have Yourself a Scary Little Christmas.
Real stretching with that one.
Mm-hmm. They had songs that were performed by the Crypt Keeper, such as Juggle Bills, which was a play on Jingle Bells. And yeah, it was just a lot of a Christmas rap. Wow, I would love to hear what that sounds like.
That was the early 90s where everyone was trying to do a rap, and it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Raps were in.
And then there also was a metal album that came out called Tales from the Crypt, Monsters of Metal. So there you go. Go check those out. We are going to take a really quick break and then come back with more spookiness from Tales from the Crypt right after these messages.
Hey, everybody. You know it's your boy, Iffy Wyoa here, sitting across from me, Danny Fernandez.
Yes, we're joined by Jen Saunderson, and you actually wanted to talk about one other one, which was the ventriloquist one,
yeah,
which is actually a common theme, because Iffy, do you remember we talked about this in the Halloween episode and Twilight Zone, because there was a Goosebumps one, remember Night of the Living Dummy? The dummy was a Twilight Zone episode, and now we have it in Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, yeah. They also had it in Dead of Night in 1945, and that's still terrifying. But the ventriloquist dummy, I believe it was season 2, episode 10, and it had two great comedians. It had Don Rickles and it had Bobcat Goldthwait. And instead of having it be like this dummy is possessed or something like out of worldly, this was a situation where the dummy Am I spoiling this?
No, please. Okay. I mean, it came out when? In the 90s?
Everyone if you haven't seen this.
Like, everyone can chill. That's what our podcast is. Like, unless it came out last month, no.
But, no difference. Yeah. Everyone can chill.
Seriously.
So, big spoiler here. Bobcat, he's trying to get tips on how to be this great ventriloquist, like how Don Rickles is. I'm always worried I'm going to say his name wrong. And it turns out that it's because he has an attached, a conjoined twin on his hand.
That's a different spin to it.
Yeah.
That's a different spin to it because normally that's so hilarious. Also, does he poop? I mean,
they give you boobs, they give you cursing, not defecation.
I mean, that's where my mind goes to, because your hand is up. It's like a puppet. Where is your hand going? Yeah, because that's a twist on how it's normally done, is the puppet comes to life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, no, this is a real person. They're just like on his hand. I love it. That's so great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was a very common theme and probably will continue to be a theme. Actually, do you remember the film? At all, the Tales from the Crypt movie?
I remember Demon Night fairly well with Billy Zane. Your buddy Billy Zane is a cool dude. And it also had Jada Pinkett Smith. And, well, I think she was just Jada Pinkett at that time.
Yeah.
And it was about an ultimate demon, Billy Zane. And he had a slew of demons coming after to try to find this vial that had like the last droplet of Christ's blood, because all of a sudden this got real creepy religious. And it was everybody was shacked up in this kind of roadhouse bar in the middle of nowhere fighting off demons. And Jada Pinkett ends up swallowing the blood, becoming the vial herself. I'm not explaining this very well.
No.
There's so much going on in that movie.
This is so foggy for me because I have, yeah, but I totally remember, oh my gosh, yeah. It's just like super hazy from the parts where like I was allowed to watch as a child as I had to cover my eyes. That also happened a lot. Like for some reason, HBO, I think, was always showing True Lies.
Oh yeah.
And that same thing. Jamie Lee Curtis also, because we talked about her in the last episode. But
Green Queen.
Yeah, truly. And I'm really excited for that film coming out.
Yeah, I'm going to see it this weekend.
Ooh.
For Beyond Fest.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. So moving on to the reboot that didn't really happen. do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. This was crazy because it was wrapped in controversy. And also, just like we were talking about with the Chucky issue that we talked on the last episode, this kind of walked down a similar line. So Tales from the Crypt was about to do a reboot, but apparently they were going to do it without the Crypt Keeper. So
no.
Well, yeah.
So, but there was a reason why.
Yeah, apparently it was going to be a weekly anthology like the original show, but without the Crypt Keeper, because basically it seemed like they had trouble kind of locking down the rights to it. And what happened was Kassir finding out called out that the Crypt Keeper wasn't going to be in it, and fans just exploded. And Kassir's response to the fans' outcry and outrage was that it's funny, I have more trending going on with my name for a job that I don't have than any job I've ever had. It actually landed a change.org petition. I don't know why we're still doing that. Like, so many times people will make a change.org petition about something. I'm like, is it really going to do anything? Where it's like, you
for
know,
a senator, like, I need to get John Kassir to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Take this to the Senate.
The only change.org petition I stood behind was when there was one to change the name of Fire Ants to Spicy Boys, because I still think we need to fight that fight.
I signed that too.
Yeah, we need to make sure.
Wait, but what about the women?
You know.
Iffy.
Yeah, hey. 2018.
Know?
Yeah, well, you know.
Spicy friends.
Ants
spicy
can be women.
Spicy friends. Well, they have to be.
That's
true. The queen is the ruler.
But that's
of
the queen.
Ant colony.
That's the spicy queen.
She's the spicy girl.
Yeah. She's the spicy queen.
Look,
we haven't thought it out all the way through, but you know, cool thing, you know, you could be spicy aunts or spicies. Maybe just spicies.
I think the Spice Girls are holding on to the Spicy Girl title for the moment.
Yeah. They blocked us out. So I guess it was supposed to be on TNT, and they had problems with the rights in general. It seemed like it started with the Crypt Keeper, and then it eventually turned out that the whole series had issues, and the underlying, and basically Turner Network issued a statement saying that the underlying rights to the classic vintage property are complicated. TNT and others have been pursuing a solution for more than a year, with significant progress being made. We look forward to the potential for further active development of this valuable franchise once the clearance process is fully resolved. And since we still don't have a show to this day, I guess it never was.
Yeah. M. Night was actually really excited about doing it, too. I was watching an interview where he was talking about it, and I guess it just didn't go.
I feel like that's right up his wheelhouse.
Yeah,
too.
A lot of disappointment with M. Night Shyamalan. The Happening.
Well, I mean, I actually like The Happening.
What?
I've had someone say they like The Happening too.
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, I also feel like it is the same message that Poison Ivy has, because she just feels like the reason why she kills humans, she doesn't even want to kill humans, the reason why she does, if she has to, is because they're ruining the planet, and she just wants to save the planet. So, or plants. So there you go. Mm. But yeah, I guess the reboot, it didn't go. So I don't know the future of this show. I'm sure, it's kind of crazy, because I'm sure with how much we're capitalizing on nostalgia that this will probably end up being something. But since it seems like they can't get because they can't get the rights to the Crypt Keeper, that it might not, if it does move forward, it'll have to move forward without him. However, do you think that they could have something similar to him? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tales from the Crypt without the Crypt Keeper.
Well, remember they had that witch, right? Maybe if they tried that.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a nice one.
I mean, they're having, was it like just a couple months from now, they're going to be relaunching Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
So I feel like if they can do a third installment, I think they've redone Twilight Zone 2 or 3 times at this point, plus the movie. I feel like they could do Tales from the Crypt, maybe sans Crypt Keeper.
Yeah.
That's
just
still
call him, what is like a, call him like a knockoff. You know, the
Grave Watcher.
Yeah, there you go. That's where it'll be.
And he has like a raspy voice instead of a high-pitched one. Hey, everybody, I'm the Grave Watcher.
He just sounds like he's like a Sunday, like Sunday, Sunday,
yeah,
Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Gold diggers.
Oh, yeah. Look, maybe that is the move.
One final thing that I want to talk about, there was the critical reception of the show when it came out. So this was from Chris William, 1989, in the LA Times. There's nothing cryptic about tonight's premiere trilogy. I love, remember, Iffy, that's my weakness when movie reviewers have to use like puns and things like that. What was the other one that I read? It was like, these kids are stiff as a board or something. Remember?
Is that from for the
Oh,
craft?
No, it was for Avatar The Last Airbender or something.
Yeah.
There's nothing cryptic about tonight's premiere trilogy of Tales from the Crypt, HBO's anxiously anticipated horror anthology series. Perhaps befitting its garish comic book origins, the series looks to be about as subtle as a sledgehammer. Or, I'm sorry, I always picture critics, even though you and I are like movie reviewer adjacent, I always picture critics as that critic in Ratatouille. They're just always in a bad mood. And we work with them, so I know. They're probably going to write me. Don't write me. I don't care. Or a fireplace poker in the cranium, or an arrow in the chest. So he's talking about the original series that we all like loved and grew up with. It's funny because I do think we look at it with an air of nostalgia, and this person hated it. Or an arrow in the chest, or any of the other dozen or so methods of dispatch on view in the 3 episodes tonight at 9:30. And he just basically goes on to talk about the show. So that's fun, but it was still really popular.
Mm-hmm.
Iffy, that's how I feel Venom is going to be. Venom's coming out, and a bunch of our friends saw it tonight, and their reviews are already up, and I feel like that's how it's, people are going to be like, it's not good, but go see it because it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. You're so right. That's that. I'm just so surprised that there's a Venom movie that's out and I'm not excited about it.
I thought you were going to say, and you're not in it.
Oh, no. That's, you know, that's a lot harder than being excited for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So is there anything else that you wanted to touch on about Tales from the Crypt?
I think just going off of what you were saying, I think there's always going to be a really strong niche for horror movies. Books, just B movies, series, etc. And I just think no matter what critics say, there'll always be like one or two outliers that they get excited about, like Hereditary or Get Out.
Yeah.
And
well, it's I mean, horror has had a good streak when you look at like The Conjuring, mm-hmm. you had Get Out, you had Hereditary,
Silence
the Witch,
of the Lambs.
Yeah, like I just meant like in this like current show. Yeah, no. I mean, horror in general is good.
Poltergeist.
Yeah. I mean, horror in general is good, but I feel like horror has been hit and miss, like especially what we talked about last episode was when we got into the gore porn type of horror. I think people just kind of dismissed horror, and I think now horror's kind of having its renaissance mm-hmm. with so many. You had It Follows that
yes.
a lot of people
oh,
went
my
to watch.
Gosh, yeah.
Even The Babadook, which has mm-hmm. which is
indie
both
horror.
A meme too. So that's what's so interesting, especially if you think of something like The Conjuring having a more stable and popular cinematic universe than the DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's interesting to see where horror's going now. And it seems like now also using the wave of this new popular string of horrors, we're starting to do reboots because we have Halloween. And then before that, which we just had a reboot, but I forget the name of it.
Yeah. Oh, we have the oh no, that's not a reboot, but we have the Child's Play one that's coming out that
yeah,
we talked
yeah.
about.
Yeah, the Child's Play one. So it's interesting.
Yeah, we'll see where this goes. Probably the day. Remember the day we dropped our Avatar episode? They announced the new show on Netflix.
Oh yeah.
So just wait. I hope the day we drop this that it'll be announced a new Tales from the Crypt on Netflix. I'm sure it makes
sense. That would be wild.
Jen, where can everyone catch you?
I'm always around town doing the comedy. I'm going to be, that's how I call it, I'm just doing the comedy at the Pack Theater and at different comedy clubs or just at jensaunderson.com or at jensaunderson on Twitter.
Hell yeah. And I'm at Ms. Danny Fernandez on all the socials. Tweet at us. Let us know what your favorite Tales from the Crypt episode is. Obviously, like the Twilight Zone and a lot of these anthology ones, we can't talk about every episode. So we try to just pull some of the favorites from some really popular blogs. But definitely let us know yours or your favorite, you know, cameo appearance from a celebrity. Hit us up and check out our TeePublic site because we dropped some spooky designs in there.
Ooh, yes,
got people
we do.
Staying spooky for Spooktober. Definitely check it out.
Buy some merch.
Yes. So make sure you buy some merch. We definitely have a temporary Stay Spooky shirt just for the month of October. Ooh. It's gone when it's gone. And definitely check out just the Nerdificent TeePublic shop. We're going to add some of our favorite shirts from across the whole site. And if you just need a shirt to cover up as we get into these colder months, why don't you consider coming through the shop? Buy a little something. It helps out the podcast, and it keeps you warm.
We got any new designs coming, Iffy?
Oh, yeah. It is prematurely up right now.
Oh,
so
my.
All the, but, you know, if you get it, you get, like, the unofficial design because it's way too big. But, yeah, the Nerd Supreme Nerd Deficient logo BOGO shirt will be dropping soon. I'm going to push it to November. I've got my months mixed up because October's all for Stay Spooky. And then
yeah.
once that's gone, you'll be able to get that. And once it's gone, it's gone.
For all your holiday wares.
Yeah. If you need to find me, you can find me at IffyWadiwe, IFYNWADIWE on Twitter and Instagram, and IfDs on Twitch, holding it down. And as always, Stay Spooky.